This week's Off the Vine is sponsored by Away. Go start your 100-day trial and shop the entire Away lineup of travel essentials, including their best-selling suitcases at awaytravel.com/vine. And Progressive. Quote at progressive.com to join the over 27 million drivers who trust Progressive. This week's pod is brought to you by Hyundai and the 2022 Tucson and Santa Fe plug-in hybrid EVs. Learn more about the widest range of electrified vehicles at HyundaiUSA.com. This episode of Off the Vine is brought to you by the new Starbucks Baya energy drink. With caffeine naturally found in coffee fruit, it's energy that's good. Starbucks Baya energy drink is available online at grocery stores, convenience stores, and gas stations nationwide.
Welcome to Off the Vine with Caitlin Bristow. Get ready to laugh, connect, and feel empowered with Caitlin and her guests as they sip wine,
lots of wine,
and get candid. They say vulnerability creates connection. So save the highlight reel for Instagram, because when we're among vinos, there's no filter. It's time to unwind. Here's your host, Caitlin Bristow.
Okay, I'm so excited. Just one, I love being in your presence and I always want to absorb your energy. I don't know how you have energy, but you do.
I don't know either.
I really don't know, but cheers. Well, yeah. The energy juice, yes, the go-go yes, juice. Yeah. I get it. But we were just saying this is our fourth podcast, which is amazing.
I was like second or third. I couldn't believe fourth.
I know, because the first time was when I was first starting podcasting. I didn't have any like equipment. I didn't even think about video.
Yeah.
We were doing it in your house. It was like late at night.
Yeah. Is that when you stayed over for a few days?
Yeah, probably.
That was fun. And Justin wasn't there either, was he?
No, he was on a like fishing trip with his friends.
We should do that again.
Yeah. Go away so we can hang out again.
What? Sorry, I don't want to interrupt you, but last night in the group, so we have a group thread for those that are listening with all the bachelorettes. And so every time there's a new bachelorette, another one gets added. So there's like 18 or something now. It's wild.
I can't even keep track.
But anyhow, I was a little tipsy last night because we had a bunch of people over and you were in town and it was just crazy at our house. Yeah. And you're like, oh, you sent a video to all the girls.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, we should send Justin and the kids away and have everybody here in Kelowna have a big pool party.
Yes.
I'm hosting my friend Caitlin Hargraves, my makeup artist. I'm hosting her bachelorette party at the end of the summer. And there's going to be like 40 girls. So if I can do that, I can do all the bachelorettes.
Could you imagine we had all the bachelorettes together at that reunion at the Bachelor Mansion. That was insane because I thought like, you never know what it's going to be like with that many like powerful women in one room. Not in a bad way. It's just like probably so
much energy.
But everyone was just so humble and loving and fun and sweet. Yeah. And it was just like the best little experience.
Yeah.
And now there's been like 10 since that, it feels like.
Yeah.
Katie and Michelle were like back to back.
Okay. Yes. Right.
And then now there's two bachelorettes.
Yes. Oh, I thought you meant 10 of those parties. And I'm like, where was my fucking images? I've been sitting here for the last 30 seconds. My blood is boiling. I'm like, there's been 10 of those parties since.
No.
And I haven't got one freaking invite.
No. Okay. 10 like bachelorettes then. Oh my gosh. I know. I feel like we're just going through bachelorettes like crazy. Like there's just been so many
seasons.
And
there's two right now.
We have to add both of them into the group chat.
Yeah.
Even Claire was the bachelorette for like a week. She's still in the chat.
That's great.
Yeah. What's your bachelorette? Always a bachelorette. But yeah, it was a year ago now since you've been on the podcast.
Okay, yeah.
So the last time you just launched Jilly Academy, I was hosting the bachelorette and we talked about your farm goals. And now we're just sitting at your beautiful farm.
Right. Did I have the farm?
I think you just purchased the land or something.
Right.
And you were talking about what your farm goals were going to be.
Was that at the office?
This was at that dude's basement.
Oh, at the dude's basement.
Yeah.
That sounds really bad. You ever been to the office for one?
No, I've not been to the office.
Oh my God, you got to come. It's so cute.
I don't even think you had the office when...
No, I did. I must have.
I don't know. I can't keep track of time.
I don't think I had this farm.
Somebody could tell me something was a week ago or a year ago, and I'd be like, I don't know.
Me too.
I actually don't know.
I don't remember yesterday.
Yeah, it's so crazy. For the reason. Oh my gosh. So we need a full update on the farm and what has happened since that.
Yeah.
Like, this place is adorable.
It's cute.
It's the cutest. There's just something nostalgic about it when you walk in the door. I'm like, I feel like I grew up here. I don't know what it is.
That's literally why we had to buy it.
Yeah.
So essentially what happened is we built our house that we're in right now. Loved it, but I felt like I needed another project. And I grew up you know, Northern Alberta.
Yeah.
You grew up in Northern Alberta. And I just wanted somewhere where my kids could, like, run through the trees and the leaves and, like, get muddy. And our house is really beautiful right now, but it's almost too precious.
It is.
I'm like, I don't want my kids to grow up with, like, perfectly manicured boxwoods.
Yeah.
So, I mean, not that there's a bad thing, but so we started talking about doing, like, getting an acreage. And when the pandemic happened, and everybody was nervous about food and being sustaining themselves. Yeah. I'm like, Justin, let's go find this acreage. And this was not really in our budget or like what we were thinking.
Yeah.
But it was a listing. And during the pandemic, we didn't have much to do. So I'm like, let's go take a look. And when I walked down this like little path with the trees, I got to walk you down. You've been down there with
me. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I started crying.
Yeah.
I started crying. I'm like, this reminds me of Alberta.
Yeah.
This, I could see our kids running around here.
Yeah.
And so we made them an offer that they wanted to refuse. It was not a good offer. It was not a good offer. We could only afford so much. Yeah. But they'd had this property for a long, long time. And
so they took your offer.
They took our offer. And so anyhow, what are we going to do? Because it's a it's on farmland.
Yeah.
So we have to do something. And we're not farmers. And we went through all the, there used to be cows here, but Justin didn't want to do cows because he's vegan. And then we thought maybe we would just do hay or eggs.
Yeah.
But we're like, that's not exciting for the people.
Yeah.
Like,
and you've got to make it exciting for the people.
Yeah. Like, so Justin and I were like, oh, let's grow flowers.
Yeah.
So now we have a cut flower farm.
So like legally you had to do something for the farm.
We wouldn't have to, but it's kind of like a farm status thing. Like, I think you lose your farm status and then the taxes change and whatnot. Okay. And which is fine.
Yeah.
It's just, we got excited about the idea of doing something.
Yeah.
So we started a cut flower farm, but know nothing about it. Last year we did okay. We're losing money right now because let me just tell you, like, you buy a tulip bulb and it's like, it's a dollar, but then you have to put it in the ground, then you have to water it, then you have to watch it, and then you cut it, and then you pick it, and then you go to sell it, and you can't sell it for more than like $2 or $3.
Wow, that's a lot of work.
But like seeds are okay. Like you plant like one sunflower seed is like 5 cents, so you can sell a sunflower for like $5, but like when you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, no. I mean, I love that you're just like, I need a new project. You probably didn't, but
I did not.
And then all of a sudden you're growing flowers, and not only, didn't you tell me that you went to sell flowers and people are like, oh, what's the charity for?
No.
What are you doing? You're like, I'm doing this for, I need to survive at the farm.
No, seriously. So we went to an event and they're like, this is so sweet what you're doing. Like, what's the charity for? I'm like, we'll be making a donation later on this evening. However, this is my new venture.
Yeah.
But anyways, it was a lot for me last year because I would wake up at 5 a.m, come down here, move these sprinklers that are like legit 100 years old.
Yeah.
I've got videos of me like moving these big sprinklers around, get back in my car, get my kids ready for school. I was like dying. And then I would pick the flowers myself, make the bouquets and drive them around town and deliver them. You're on top of the Jilly Academy, the Jilly of the Box, the pandemic, all the brand partnerships, babies. I'm like, I'm going to go berserk.
You are just an anomaly.
I was like, I can't do this again. My Auntie Mary, who's Sam's mom, she's worked at the hospital for like 18 years, wanted to try something different. So she quit her job at the hospital and now she's our flower farmer.
Oh, that's sweet.
It's her full-time job and we're going to do the flower truck. We have this little mini truck now and we're going to take it to the wineries and then I think we'll plant grapes here next year.
Oh my gosh.
I'll be asking for all kinds of advice on how to sell wine.
And then you'll have to tell me all about actually growing the grapes that, because I'm like, that is like a lifelong goal to one day have that.
I have no clue. Yeah, so that's what we're doing. And we'll build a house here one day, but
yeah.
I don't even know where to start with that.
I mean, where does your energy come from? How do you do this?
Okay.
Because I have mental breakdowns. I like to call them menti bees all the time.
Oh, I always have menti bees too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, I think for me, I'm not scared of death.
Yeah.
But I honestly, truly think like, oh my gosh, I only get to do this life once.
Yeah.
And I have so many ideas. And I'm just like, I just can't be tired. I'm like, I'm not coughing. Just get, come on, you got another idea. Like, I'm like, I want to, but.
Well, and your brain works in such a unique way. Like, I remember you telling me that even when you were younger, like you made business cards, you'd clean people's houses. Yeah. Like, you've always had that like business mindset of being an entrepreneur and just that like hustle lifestyle.
No, like when I was Leo's age, I legit would like haul out my parents' shit from our house and put up a garage sale sign. And my mom would come home from work and be like, where's my elliptical? I'm like, she gone.
She's gone, but I made us some money.
My mom had this like beautiful duvet set that she bought from JCPenney. Stuff. Remember JCPenney? Yeah. And I was like still in the bag and one of her best friends bought it. And my mom asked for it back. She's like, I'll buy it back. And she's like, no, I bought this at your garage sale. So yeah, I was not always legit. Like I was just scam artist at one point.
Yeah, but that's also having a business mindset. I think it's so impressive, and I love that it started at a young age, because it's not a coinkydink that you just like live this lifestyle. You've worked hard for it.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is something I've talked about with the manifesting, how we're doing that tour that you
so
did
awesome.
With the Wine Women Wellbeing. It's like manifesting, people think that it's just like you write it down and then manifesting.
You look
like,
at it on your mirror.
Why isn't it not happening to me?
Yeah.
But like, you've been manifesting shit before you even realized you were, from like the age of 8, and like,
yeah,
just having your own businesses and doing your own thing. Like, you've always put it out there and done the work.
And another thing, and I think you do this too, is you manifest it. You can think about it for so long. You can do some homework, whatever. But at some point, you just got to get out there and just do it.
Yeah.
Like, you just got to do it, even though you're not doing it. Like, I wanted to be an interior designer.
Yeah.
I had no idea what I was doing, but I'm like telling people, like, can I paint your house?
Yeah.
And they're like,
yeah.
Sure. Do you know how? I'm like, yeah.
Yes.
I do know how. Yeah. But anyways, with the farm, I have this vision, like at the manifest tour, we had to write down what we were manifesting.
Yeah.
And my thing is, I wanted downtime. And it's like so ironic because I'm like the idea girl.
Yeah.
And, but all I really want, like this morning I was filling up my water bottle and the sun was shining in the garage and I could hear the water going in the water bottle. And I just felt like, imagine if I sometimes do feel like I take on too much and I am overwhelmed. I'm like, why do I do this to myself? But it is truly because I'm passionate about the things I do.
Yeah.
And I'm so passionate about
it. I wonder what your like state of mind would be if you did just like not take on everything. And so it probably wouldn't be fulfilling for you.
I think this would become an issue. Just
me
gonna
too.
Be honest.
Yeah. But that's the thing. You'd be like, I'm bored.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. I always tell my sister, like, you always have to embrace who you are. And she actually she likes her job. She loves what she's doing. But what makes her happy is like the stillness. And she wants to like move to a farm and like,
and actually have that stillness.
Yes. Just be still. She's like, I'd love to just live in like Saskatchewan and just have land and like chill.
Have you seen that little meme of this little mole? And he's like, it's a cartoon. He's a little mole and he's sitting underneath a mushroom and he's drinking a cup of tea and it's raining around him.
Yeah.
And it says like, whatever this lifestyle is, like, this is what I'm going for.
Yeah.
And every time I see that, I'm like, you can feel the calmness.
Yeah.
One day I might be able to do that. But if not, it's okay. I'm trying to just embrace who I am. And I don't know if you feel like this, but the other day I felt like, maybe it's bad for my brand that I have so many different things. Like, people don't know if they're following me for the academy or cut flowers or a romper.
Right.
And so the Jilly box.
Yeah.
And I'm starting to think, like, maybe I'm diluting myself too much. But I love it. I love all the things. So
I think you should do all the things if you love. If there's something that you're like, actually, I could do without that, I would cut it.
Yeah.
But I think you love everything that you're doing. Now, that doesn't mean it doesn't come with challenges and ups and downs, because any business or anything that you do and have your name on, it's not just going to be smooth sailing.
It's so true. We talked about this.
Yes.
It's like you think, oh, people would say, oh, you put your name on anything and it sells. And that's not actually true.
No. Nor
just
do you want
to
do that.
All right. So I am in the home country right now. The homeland, oh, Canada, having the best time with my friends and fam and doing a little work. And before this, I stopped by LA to do some podcasting. I actually am really excited for you guys to hear those episodes. So safe to say I've been doing some traveling recently, and I feel like I'm always doing some sort of traveling. You might call me a travel expert at this point. And that's why I know what I'm talking about when I tell you that you need to get yourself some Away products. If you ever find yourself traveling, whether it's a big trip or just a little weekend getaway, Away creates thoughtful products designed to change how you see the world. And it all started with the perfect suitcase, which makes travel so much more seamless. Their suitcase seriously makes my travel experiences that much better. I'm going to tell you why. It has TSA-approved combination locks, which always makes me feel secure when traveling. It has 360-degree spinner wheels, so it's really easy to bring that baby through the airport with you. And these suitcases already help you pack so much more in, but their newest line of soft-side suitcases can actually expand 1.75 inches, so you can pack even more. It makes a huge difference. Plus, there's zero risk because you have a 100-day trial on everything Away makes. So start your 100-day trial, shop the entire Away lineup of travel essentials, including their best-selling suitcases at awaytravel.com/vine. That's awaytravel.com/vine. All right, Vinos, let's talk about Hyundai for a second. Everything is better electrified, and Hyundai has the widest range of electrified vehicles on market, including their first ever Tucson and Santa Fe plug-in hybrid EVs. Their turbocharged engines have quiet, rapid acceleration, and you can use electric when you want or gas when you need. So it's your journey. Evolve it beyond the pump in the 2022 Tucson or Santa Fe plug-in hybrid EVs. Visit your nearest Hyundai dealer or learn more at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
What has been the hardest part for you with, like, is there something in particular that stands out as you're like, that's the hardest thing that I'm doing right now?
I would have to say the academy, the Geely Academy, which shocks me because prior to starting the academy, I think it might be a little bit because of the pandemic. I think a lot of people are just tired.
Yeah.
We launched the academy basically at the beginning of the pandemic. But prior to the academy, people would reach out all the time and ask, like, how do I do brand partnerships? How do I start a new business? How do I grow my team? And I was even like Lisa Webb, who I used to like call mentor her or whatever she would call me, and we'd brainstorm. And I used to think, like, if only there was a document that I could give all the women that are men that want to branch out and do their own thing, that could help them, because I freaking love what I do so much. There is a financial component that comes with it that allows me to work from home, make my own schedule, donate to charities, support my family. Mm-hmm. And I want that opportunity if anybody wants it, for anybody who wants it.
Yeah.
I want them to have the opportunity. And so I thought, if I could create this platform that I could teach people what I've learned and also some of my failures, that it would be so successful. And it has been successful, but it's hard because all of the people who follow me that are entrepreneurs, have bought it.
Yeah.
Right. But not everybody that follows me needs that. I have a lot of, retired women, a lot of stay-at-home moms, doctors, dentists, teachers, they may not need that platform.
Right.
And it's also expensive.
Yeah.
It's $600 and it's not instant gratification. You have to buy it for expensive, and then you have to do really hard work to make it work.
Yeah.
And then people are tired.
Yeah.
And it's a high price point.
Mm-hmm.
And not everybody needs it. And so for me, it was a little bit humbling. Like, it's done well. We're growing our team. We're having an event this fall. Like, it's doing well. But I was a little bit shocked at the numbers, and I've realized I need to get outside of my bubble. What if I wasn't Jillian Harris? How would we sell these courses?
Right.
And I've realized for the first time, I've had to sell something that is valuable for other people that don't know me.
Yeah. How do you do that, though?
Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Ask the people who are up. Like, it's, and so that's where I've always been so grateful for this platform and The Bachelor.
Yeah.
And like, I did a couple of other TV shows afterwards. It's given me the platform. But I truly believe it's so funny because that one's the hardest work.
Yeah.
But I believe in it the most because it was intended to enrich other people's lives. Like, to me, it's so gratifying. If somebody takes the course and they've learned from it and it's advanced their business, to me, that's all I want.
What do they take away from it? Like, if somebody's listening that has never heard of it, what do they take away from this? What is the course?
So there's three modules. The first one is basically like the heart and soul of your business. So it's like, it's almost like a little bit of therapy where we talk about like, what do you want your legacy to be? Like, I always think about my legacy.
Oh my gosh.
And I had to do this thing once where I had to write my eulogy, and it totally changed my trajectory in life because it made me realize what I want people to remember me for.
Yeah.
So that first course is just a little bit about how to find the heart and soul of your business. And I think also we've been trained to think, okay, you don't mix business and pleasure and you got to be harsh and you got to be direct and you got to be firm. But I believe that you should run your business with your heart.
Yeah.
So the first course is all about that. The second is content creation. So we teach people how to take pictures, how to do Planoly, how to edit pictures, how to write a caption, like all of that stuff. And then the third is the business part of it. So we talk about like how to grow a team, the financial sides. We talk about, brand partnerships, financials. So it's really
awesome.
And you can do it either online through a video, or you can get booklets.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I think that's awesome. But you said, you know, you've got people that are teachers or doctors or whatever, but even those people who have their jobs or careers in mind or in the middle of
it
them,
would benefit.
It could still benefit 100%. You.
Yeah.
even as those people, or even if you wanted to start a side business, which so many people want to do, like a little passion project, that would probably help them with anything.
Exactly.
I think $600 is a really fair price for that.
I think so too.
I really do. And again, like, I don't think it matters what industry you're in.
Exactly. And that's the thing. So we're having this event out here this fall, and it'll be super intimate. Like, I think 100, 150 people, 100. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't matter what industry you're in or where your business is at. It's like what we did this weekend. It's all about connection and growing and learning from one another. And this is something that men don't do a lot either.
Yeah.
Like, women actually are so awesome. We want to build each other up. We want to see each other succeed. I mean, maybe not all women, but most people.
Yeah.
And I think we're in a new era where women are really wanting to see each other succeed and really helping each other. Like, you've always been that way.
I have, but I was talking actually earlier about this with Becca Tilly, is that having that mindset of like, one, being not jealous, but like, oh shoot, I should be doing that, and the comparison thing, but also being happy for the people that are doing those things.
Yeah.
Like, it's such a confusing way to feel, because like, for example, Tayshia got to host the MTV Movie Awards, and I was so happy for her, because I was like, hell yeah, like, what a huge accomplishment, and she looked so beautiful, and I was like so stoked for her. And then I was like, wait, well, shit, did I not do good enough hosting? And they didn't ask me. And then I start to have these self-doubts. But I think that's the main thing to remember, is that you can have both feelings, as long as you are knowing there's room for everybody to succeed, while still being like, maybe that inspired you, but you're confusing that feeling for jealousy. Like, actually, if you look at it through a different lens of, maybe this isn't making me jealous, maybe it's actually going to like inspire me to do something else, and shift your brain to that.
I am so glad you acknowledge that, because that's a real feeling that I have, and I'm sure every person has. And it's so hard, because you're hard on yourself, but then sometimes you're like, even if you don't say anything out loud, you're hard on that other person too.
Yeah.
And it's such a strange thing. And you're like, okay, just focus on my own shit. Just focus on my own shit. But you really have to see it as something that's inspiring or aspiring, but then also give yourself credit for what you do.
Yeah. There it is. I was like, if anyone's going to love this joke with me, it's going to be Jill. Huh?
Yeah.
Do you suffer from imposter syndrome?
100%.
You do?
Yeah, 100%. All the time.
See, I wouldn't have thought that about you.
You can ask the team. I'm actually like Alejandra, who's staring back here. She's always sending me messages. She's like, see, I just want to tell you how I feel about this. Like, everybody's like, you're too hard on yourself. But I do care what people think of me. Like, Justin always says, like, well, just why do you give a shit what people think of you? I'm like, I am in the business of entertaining people and making them happy.
Yeah, of
That's
course.
Why I'm doing what I do.
Yeah.
And so when people aren't happy, then I'm like, what is wrong with me?
Especially if it's the people that are like following you and are invested in you. Because if they're just some troll, I can really let it slide.
Yeah. But not just about making people happy. It's weird, because I know my parents did a really good job with me. My parents were a lot like yours. They let me do whatever I wanted. And they're like, whatever your heart desires, you can accomplish that.
Yeah.
And we just trust you with your decision. Like, you and I were like totally cut from the same cloth, but that almost made me so driven to make everything successful and try everything. And sometimes I feel like I'm doing too much. I'm not funny enough. I don't give enough back to the community. I'm not present enough with my kids. I could be a better mom.
Yeah.
I'm annoying, which I am sometimes, but like, all the time I have it, but it's kind of like, are you like this? Like, when I have a hangover, I used to call them like padding, post-alcohol depression.
Yeah.
Back in the day, I get like anxiety the next day, but I couldn't manage it.
Yeah.
Now, if I drink a little bit too much and I get that anxiety, I can talk myself off the ledge, and I'm like, I know why it is.
Yeah.
Get over it, Jill. Move on with your day.
Yeah.
So when I have those feelings of anxiety, like I screwed up or I'm not enough or I'm too much or whatever, I have this little conversation with myself. Oh my God, I have a story to tell you later that'll make you cry.
Okay.
And I want everybody to do this. It's a good story, but it's like, oh my gosh, it's like you're on a mushroom trip.
Wait, I don't know all of the things. But
So anyways, I have this little conversation with myself, and I'm like, Jill, like, look at what you have. Like, think about your worst case scenario.
Yeah.
Your worst case scenario. You don't have this fancy house. You don't have this following. You don't have the farm or whatever. You live in the basement with your mom and dad or whatever.
Yeah.
You still have your people.
Yeah.
Like, all of these things don't really matter. Mm-hmm. They don't. I love them. I love working hard. It's nice to have fancy things. But in the end, if I had to go back to Peace River, Alberta,
yeah,
and go back to my roots before any of this,
yeah,
I know I could find happiness.
Yeah.
So I'm like, stop beating yourself up over this bullshit that does not matter.
I know. It's so hard to do that, though.
Yeah.
It's so hard. Because we live in a comparison world where somebody is always doing something better than you. And not only, mm-hmm. like, before social media, there was always someone, you know, more successful, better looking, funnier, yeah. better mom, better this. But we just didn't really see it.
Yeah.
We just scroll and see that every day, all day now.
Yeah.
Where we're like, oh my gosh, not only is this person doing it, but it's in my face.
But you know it's the highlight reel.
Yeah, that's
the problem even with Instagram, even for me. And I think that's, like, you and I are seeing a change on Instagram.
Yeah.
I try to be as transparent as possible, but I don't want to air out all my dirty laundry.
Right.
Right? And so... And also, I want to curate something beautiful and inspiring for people.
Yeah.
But then when I scroll and I just see perfection, I'm like, yeah, been there, done that.
Yeah.
Like, nice cut flowers. Like, yeah. Whatever. So, yeah, it's just a really interesting time. I'm so curious to know if, like, when Leo's older, if they're going to be glued to their phones and Instagram, or if they're just going to make fun of us.
Yeah.
And be like, you guys were idiots. Like,
yeah, I wonder. Because right? It feels like the generation coming up is so much wiser than we were.
Yeah.
So it's like they have the technology, but also I feel like they're, I don't know why I feel this way, but even just seeing it in my niece and nephew, like they are just so much more accepting of other people
yeah.
and they are more like in the moment and they're not as much into like partying and being degenerates
yeah.
and like rebellious. Like they're more present. Now my niece and nephew, I'll see them and I'm like, hello, because they're on their phones. But when they are off right. their phones,
yes,
they're still kids.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh yeah, totally. And we were the first generation to really get phones.
Yeah.
Like, what's going to happen in 4 generations? I think they're going to look back at us and be like, you guys were crazy. You spent your whole life in screens.
I hope so.
I hope. The internet is my business, but I wouldn't be sad if it went away.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I try.
You're smart enough. You could figure, people are not going to stop drinking wine.
That's true, but how'd you sell it?
They have to go to the store and buy it.
Huh. Well, I need to get it into all the stores first.
Yeah.
Target, if yeah. you're listening.
I don't know.
I also wanted to highlight how much you have given back to communities in need, because you said something earlier about
what is this, like, a podcast or that let's pump Jill's tires for an
That's
hour and a half?
Yeah.
Is that what podcasts are about?
I love podcasting and pumping people's tires. I used to have a segment where I'd pump people's tires and like that. Highlight small businesses, which I need to get back to. but you said earlier, like, do I give back enough? You make me feel like I don't give back enough because
God.
Not to make you feel bad. Yeah. See, I pump them up and then I deflate. But just to name a few, you've donated to the Texas Elementary Redwood Victims Fund, several Ukraine organizations, a Missing Indigenous Woman Fund, Raincoast Conversation Foundation, like so much more.
So many important causes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So many important causes.
And that's the thing, is that here's an example of how the internet can be such a beautiful place, because there's GoFundMes now and donations and foundations, and having the kind of platform you have, you're able to like raise money for certain things. And that's you've done such a good job of that.
Yeah. But you know what chaps my ass sometimes? We pay so much money in taxes.
Yeah.
So much money in taxes. How is it not enough for the Raincoast Conservation? How is it not enough for the Indigenous Women Front? How is it not enough? Like, I don't mind. I will pay more. That's fine. I'll do whatever I can to continue to support my community and whatnot. But politics is the worst place to go into. But I think about it often.
Yeah.
I think about it often. I should know more about politics as well. But I think about it often as, like, I understand why people go into politics if they're passionate about
it.
And some, but There's something wrong.
Yeah.
There's something wrong with the distribution of our taxes.
Yeah.
Or maybe there's just not enough. I don't know. I don't understand. But just in 2020, in 2020, we raised, like, I think $500,000.
What?
In 2020. Could be wrong. Maybe it was a little bit less. But yeah, it was like, it was like $500,000.
That is amazing.
And then, you know, it's been an interesting time in the last couple of years. So donating a little bit less and less. But then there's Jilly Box as well. But anyhow... But I just thought to myself, all of these people are paying taxes. And on top of that, digging deep into, like, I donate their money, but it's not like it just grows on trees.
Right.
I get that money from my community who buys my things or invests in the whatnot. So it's not, I'm just donating.
Yeah.
It's the community. I hopefully feels good when they shop with me because they know that some of that money is going to go back into the community. But anyways, one day maybe I will go into politics.
I mean, I'm. I'd vote for you.
Would you?
We all know I would. That's, I mean, even your cameo doesn't, that
goes. Do you do cameos?
No. And you told me about this because I do love the idea of being able to connect with people and having stuff go to charity for
it's
that
amazing.
Because like, even if it's a percentage, I think that's so cool to do that. Mm-hmm. It's just more like,
time?
No, not
our
even
energy.
No, it's not even time. Or,
try to read your mind here.
Sure. It is actually a little bit of time and energy, but to me, and I don't want to dog on you or whoever does cameo, but I'm like, I feel so guilty making people like pay to say,
not if you donate it to like organizations that you believe in.
That's true. You donate it all?
Every single penny. And okay. we have donated like almost $250,000.
Holy shit.
In less than 3 years. And I've done like 2,000 of these videos. And sometimes I am exhausted.
Yeah.
I'm having a fight with Justin or something stressful happening at work. And Alejandro, I'm like, Alejandro, I'm like, you've got a cameo that's going to be due. Like, you got to do it. And I'd be like, but as soon as you're like, Karen, happy birthday! Like, all of a sudden, you're like, woo, woo. Like, the other day, I did a cameo at 9 a.m., and it was for a bachelorette party.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I hope you guys are doing a tequila shot right now. I'm like, well, Christ, now I've got to do a shot of something. Like, it's 9 a.m. I'm like, you know what? That's no excuse. I like, go into my liquor cabinet and grab some Baileys, and I do a shot of Baileys at 9 a.m. on my thing. And because I'm like, I can't let these girls drink alone.
Yeah.
So then I have to get into a Jilly Box meeting after that, and I'm like, woo, like I'm feeling good this morning. It's like a Tuesday morning.
And that goes such a long way for people, you know? And then the fact that that goes to charity. Okay.
100%. And then what we do is you could actually even leave this up to your community or whatever, but we have a poll every month, like within our company, and everybody in our company, we have a document. And if they're really passionate about an organization, they put it in the document. And then every month we do a secret poll.
Yeah.
Like I just got it this morning.
Yeah.
Where do we want to send this month's cameos to? And you vote. And my vote is just as much as Allison's vote or anybody.
Yeah.
And then whichever charity gets the most, that's where the money goes to.
And oh, I love that.
And then we try to go like, okay, so, you know, it's June. We're celebrating LGBTQ.
Yeah.
And it's also Indigenous History Month. Like,
yeah.
So we try to make it themed. If
yeah.
like Christmas, it'll go to whatever. So.
Yeah.
But you would love it because it really, you really feel like you're serving your community, like your people that want to hear from you.
Yeah.
And people love you so much. And then you get videos back of like people watching it and they're crying.
Yeah. That's so sweet. That's, you know what?
I'm starting you an account.
Okay.
I'm going to petition.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, you don't have to. I think I'm in.
Yeah. But you should negotiate with Cameo because they keep like 20%.
Oh.
So I want to actually go back and negotiate and see if I can lower how much they keep.
Yeah.
If I get Caitlin Bristow on, we'll both stay on for, they can only keep 10.
Yep.
Right. Yeah.
Yep. Okay. That's what we're doing.
Yeah.
Let's call them right now on the pod.
Okay, my vinos, let's take a minute to talk about the new Starbucks Bio Energy drink. So you've heard me talk about this new bevy that I'm a big, huge fan of, actually. With caffeine naturally found in coffee fruit, it's energy that's good. And it also has not only caffeine that will give you that boost of energy that you're looking for, but it also has antioxidant vitamin C, so you can get your antioxidants in while you're at it. Plus, it just tastes amazing. And it comes in three delicious fruity flavors. My personal fave is the pineapple passion fruit. Just love anything pineapple, especially during the summer. So refreshing. But they also have mango guava and raspberry lime. So you really just can't go wrong there. No matter what you have going on this summer, the Starbucks Bio Energy drink is a must have. And it comes in a can. So it's one, super convenient to take with you on the go. Or two, you just stock up on and keep in the fridge at home. I actually like to throw one in my bag on the way out of my house if I'm running errands, or take one with me when I'm hanging outside with the dogs, or just in between work meetings. It's going to give you that much needed boost of energy to go about your day. And I know lately with how busy I've been, I could definitely use a little boost. So go pick up yours now and stock up while you're at it. Starbucks Bio Energy drink is available online at grocery stores, convenience stores, and gas stations nationwide. This week's Off the Vine is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Let's face it, sometimes multitasking can be overwhelming, like when your favorite podcast is playing and the person next to you is chit-chatting away and your car fan is blasting, all while you're just trying to find the perfect parking spot. But then again, sometimes multitasking is easy, like quoting with Progressive Insurance. They do the hard work of comparing rates so you can find a great rate that works for you, even if it's not with them. Give their nifty comparison tool a try and you might just find that getting the rate and coverage you deserve is easy. All you need to do is visit Progressive's website to get a quote with all the coverages you want, like comprehensive and collision coverage or personal injury protection. And then you'll see Progressive's direct rate and their tool will provide options from the other companies all lined up, ready to compare. So it's simple to choose the rate and coverages that you like. Press play on comparing auto rates, quote at progressive.com to join the over 27 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations, and prices vary based on how you buy.
What would you say to people who don't have a platform who want to get more involved in giving back?
And there's so many ways, So like following the organizations, learning about the causes, learning about like how our systems are so flawed, even just like it's everything comes down to politics. Yeah, people tell me stay out of politics.
No,
but I'm like,
you can only for so long. Like yeah. That was the same with me. I was like, I got to stay out. But now I'm like, no, I want to be more knowledgeable.
Yeah,
because it's our future and
it's your kids, things that it's matter. The food, yeah. It's yeah. the environment, it's everything. But
we've got tampon shortages coming
yeah,
up.
Yeah, no shit.
Formula for
I'm sure the Diva shortages. Cup is just oh. doing so great right now.
Oh, for sure.
Have you ever used it?
No.
I stuck it in my vagina once.
Yeah.
And it was like I think my vagina is too big. Like after two kids, it just falls out. Like it
just, somebody else told me that too. Yeah. Maybe you could get like an extra large.
I have a wide
set
for yeah. No, I got the extra large. There's two sizes.
For your heavy glove and your wide set for China. Yeah.
Justin doesn't think it's too big. But
there you go. It's probably too big in there.
In there.
Because you've had babies. That
I
makes
don't
sense.
Know. Yeah.
I've never tried it because I feel like I'm too small.
Yeah.
I haven't had babies yet.
Tight lady over here. But anyways, yeah, so learning, following the organizations, sharing the causes, going to events. But I think learning and just knowing and acknowledging is like the biggest thing. If you don't have money or a platform,
yes.
Donating is great too, but it's hard. Like these days you feel like, oh, I could only donate like $5 and you feel like, oh, what is that going to do?
Right.
That may do some, but I think the biggest thing that people can do is just learn.
Yeah.
Learn about causes and why it's happening. Why are these issues happening?
Yeah, that's a good point. Let's talk about your kids for a second. Oh, God. Because I always loved them, but I fell a little more in love with them last night.
Know.
They are just like really good kids, like sweethearts.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're sweethearts, but they actually have sweethearts.
They have sweethearts.
I watched Leo yesterday and he genuinely like wanted to take care of this puppy so bad.
Yeah.
And he wrapped it up in a blanket and turned on the fireplace and made it like so it was warm at one spot for the puppy and then got a big bowl of food and water and then just sat there and watched the puppy
yeah.
to make sure that she was okay.
Yeah.
And then he broke out into song, sang me happy birthday without even
that
being
was
asked.
So cute.
You get over into my arms right now. Oh my God.
But he did, and he just, like, nobody asked him to do that. He just sang, and I didn't know if he'd even remember my name or who I was. So then he goes, happy birthday, Auntie Kate. Yeah. And I was like, oh,
I know.
Gosh. And then he gives me a big hug, and he's just like, they're just so sweet. And then I saw Annie this morning, and she goes, hi, Miss Caitlin. Miss Caitlin?
Yeah, but Leo's in love with you. Leo wants to marry Caitlin. Oh, he told me last night after she left, I'm in love with Caitlin, and I'm worried that I've promised too many girls that I'll be marrying them, and now I don't know if it's possible, and you're one of them, so.
How old is he now? Five?
Five, yeah. So, like, they're, it's done. Like, it, like Hugh Hefner, you know. It's back, oh, maybe when he's, like, 35.
Yeah. And I'm eight. I'm, like, the female Hugh Hefner. Ew, I watched a documentary on the Secrets of the Playboy Mansion.
And?
It's disgusting what went on there.
They made it look so classy.
I know. It was not. That's, I learned on this. Oh my God, I always wanted to go. Oh, same. And now I'm
not
like,
with these bee stings. Are you kidding me? I'd like show up and they'd be like, get out of my property.
Me too.
Yeah, you wouldn't be allowed
in. They don't call me Caitlin, no breasts, for nothing. I love it. It's my favorite nickname. Okay, wait. What was I just saying? Hugh Hefner.
The kids. The kids. They're amazing. They're good kids.
So what is your biggest takeaway from being a mom? Because I watch you from the outside and I go, gosh, I want to be a mom like that. Because you let them be them. You give them so much confidence. You give them so much love. You allow them to be who they are. And you just like, you somehow trust these little humans who... I just don't trust anybody, but I trust Leo.
I trust them more than an adult.
Yeah.
You know, okay, so I think my parents did a really great job of this as well. But I think, I'm no parenting expert, but I was actually thinking about this the other day. How can somebody be a parenting expert when you only can live once and you can only have kids once? How do you become a parenting expert? I'm like, wait a second, Susan. Yeah, I follow all these parenting accounts and I'm like, but wait, how do you know more than me? Your kids are the same age as mine. Well, this is your first time having kids. What makes you...
And your kids are much different than my kids and we're all doing something different and what works for you might not work for me. And,
right. But I like listening and I've learned a lot from these accounts.
I'm sure.
There's one, I'll see if I can share some with you after, I can't remember.
Okay.
but anyways, is that first of all, acknowledging their feelings, even if their feelings make zero sense.
Yeah.
Like Annie slammed the door in my face yesterday because she wanted to pick out her toothbrush, not me.
Yeah.
And to me, that just seems absolutely ridiculous. Like, what a stupid thing to be upset about. But for her, that's important.
Yeah.
She's 3 and a half. Yeah. For some reason, that was important to her. And so I want to just always acknowledge that. Like, okay, I don't want her to slam the door in my face so we can have a separate conversation about that.
Right.
But that is something, just acknowledging their, like, little feelings that just seem to make no sense.
Because that's all the feelings they know.
That's all they know.
And a feeling's a feeling.
That's all they have is their little stuffies and whatnot. Like,
yeah.
I heard somebody say, like, you know, use your words, like, you can, I'm like, but sometimes they don't know how. They're only like 5 or 6.
Right.
Like, how, they're just learning how to use their words. Like,
yeah.
Show them how to use their words. And like, sometimes all they know is tears. And so I just try my best to be patient. Although I do, there's the odd time where I'm like, get your shoes on! How many times do I have to ask you? There are times where I just lose my shit.
Oh yeah, of course.
But I like to have fun with the kids. And I like for them to develop their own sense of humor. And sometimes it's offside. And I worry because Leo goes to a Catholic school.
Said some hilarious
things. Yeah. So Leo, in his like first week, his teacher is like, oh yeah, Leo told me a joke at school today. I was like, oh God, here we go. why do squirrels swim on their backs?
Why?
To keep their nuts dry. So
yes,
5 years old, kindergarten Catholic school tells this to his teacher. And I'm like, I'm not going to give him shit for it, but I'm just going to tell him like, sometimes jokes aren't appropriate and you're going to learn how to read the room. And I'm like, I'm 40. So I'm like 10 times older than you. And I still screw that up.
Yes.
I still screw. I know I can drop the F-bomb here. Like I still fuck it up and I'm still like, shit, that wasn't funny.
Yeah.
I beat myself up. Papa, Papa's almost 70. He's still screwing it up. But don't let that stop you from telling jokes.
Yes.
Keep on trying. If you offend somebody, you can always say sorry. You can do better next time. But making people laugh is one of the best gifts you can have.
I feel like that's why I was put on this planet.
Yes. But are you worried about getting canceled?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Like because for me, people always say, oh, you're just the same in person as you are on the internet. I'm not. I am way funnier in person.
Yeah.
I am way more offside in person.
Yeah.
But I am so afraid of getting canceled or people judging me that, you know, like, I don't even, a few weeks ago, all these people were like, you're an alcoholic and you must be so, like, all these things about yourself, about myself, that I actually was like, oh my gosh, am I? Like, and I'm thinking, if I am, you shouldn't be talking to people like that.
Yeah.
And if I'm not, mind your own fucking business.
Yeah.
There's one or two things. But it stressed me out. And so I feel like COVID for me, a few things happened during COVID where I screwed up.
Yeah.
And I think this happened to you too.
Yeah. I screwed up about,
I'm sorry. I want to make it about you now. And I screwed up. I want you to tell us how you screwed up.
No, I screwed up about, a woman's hair journey.
Right.
It was a black woman.
Yes.
And I was rude enough to not listen to her full story and then take it into my own personal experience and did an Instagram ad about it.
Right.
But I didn't hear her full story. When I went back and listened, I was mortified.
Yeah.
And I didn't tell anyone this, but I ended up donating all of the money I made from it to this woman's favorite charity.
Yeah.
So but not to be like, see, I'm a good person, but I learned so much from
totally,
that. And I was like, oh, I should have listened.
Yeah.
How did you screw up?
Many times. Where do we start? But the biggest one I think that really got me was I did the sleep out. It's called the Covenant House sleep out.
Yeah, you got me involved in
that. I got you involved. And I did it at my house because of COVID. We couldn't get together.
Yeah.
And I did sleep outside. It was cold, but I was on my patio and I wasn't wearing a Canada Goose, but it didn't look like one.
Yeah.
Anyways, it was a warm jacket.
Yeah.
And in the morning, I was very emotional because I'd slept outside all night.
I
started talking about a gentleman who had been experiencing homelessness a long time ago and the spawn that we had and how we like reconnected later on. And I was so upset. I couldn't stop crying. And A lot of people are like, wow, like, I'm so moved by this story. Like, that was so great. We raised over $100,000. It was so awesome. But I started to get a lot of negative feedback. I'm like, oh, this one girl who I'm friends with now is like literally called me like the C word online. Oh, like, just about how stupid I am and like how I am made it about myself. I'm, what do you want to call it? Centering myself. And how can I do this at my fancy house and whatnot? And I didn't get it. I did not get it. And so this woman who called me C word, I was like, I will pay you. I'll do whatever. But you seem to know what you're talking about and I'm not computing.
Yeah.
Will you sit down with me and talk to me? And her and I wouldn't call us friends. She would not want to say that we were friends.
I was going to say, why are you friends with her?
But I call her my friend.
Okay.
And I've learned so much for her. So she, I hope I'm saying this right, she struggled with drug abuse.
Yeah.
That's what it's called. And just, she just went through a lot. And she's so, so smart. She actually has like her PhD or her doctorate. Like, she's smart. She just came out with a book. But she, drugs, it was a big part of her life. And basically what she said is you centered yourself in that moment. You made it about you. You basically, it's appropriation. Yes. And imagine if somebody who had struggled with homelessness watched your story, they'd be like, that's bullshit. That's not what homelessness looks like. And I'm like, holy shit. And I just learned so much. And there's more to that learning journey that maybe people who are listening are like, no, I still think it's great. Like, you had great intentions, whatnot. But I just read her blog. She took over my blog.
Okay.
And actually I'm going live with her next week.
You've gone live with her before.
Yeah.
I remember watching.
Yeah.
But because I did the same thing, but it was, to me, and of course, I can't put myself in other people's shoes who have been homeless or struggled with addiction or been in that situation. So to me, I saw it as, you're not saying this is what it feels like to be homeless or this. You're just raising awareness and trying to raise money for this foundation.
Yeah.
But I see also where she's coming from.
But then my DEI consultant, who's amazing, was like, Jill, you're smart. You don't need to sleep outside to raise $100,000. She's like, you don't need to. I'm like, you're right. She's like, you could raise $100,000 and not have to sleep outside.
Right.
You can raise awareness other ways by centering those who are actually experiencing the issue. Give people your platform. Let other people tell the story. And I was like, you're right. That's what
idea.
You do. And I think that's what I learned in 2020 was that it's Jillian.Harris or JillianHarris.com, but it's always been about me and my like little bubble.
Right.
But what about all of my followers? How do they feel heard and seen and represented?
Mm-hmm.
And so now it feels more like a community where you have so many people like teaching us about their like their holidays, their background, their beliefs, their lifestyles. So many things that like I didn't know.
Right.
And I'm learning and my community's learning and I'm able to give this platform. And also it's less work for me too because I'm not doing all this writing. So
well,
it's great.
And at first it's probably it feels like such an overwhelming responsibility to have a platform. But once you look at it through a different lens of like, because you always want, I feel like you as a human being, as a businesswoman, as a mom, in everything that you do, you always are looking to grow.
Yes.
And I think at first it might seem like a big responsibility and oh, I don't, this isn't what I signed up for. And but then once you grow and you see that impact it can have, you're like, oh, well, how do I do more of
this? Exactly.
How do I make other people feel more seen and represented? And you start wanting to do those things instead of being like, well, I didn't sign up for that.
Totally.
That's how I felt at first.
Yeah. And exactly. And exactly. I was like, I was just here to sell a couple Swiffers. Swiffer is always where I go back to. No offense for Swiffer if they're one of your partners or
they're
whatever.
Not.
But maybe they will be one day because they're great, but I don't use them. I did a Swiffer ad. And I felt shitty about it because I felt like with my community, I don't use the Swiffer. So why am I doing an ad for it?
Mm.
And so I always go back to the Swiffer story. Like I could just do it to sell Swiffers.
Right.
But anyhow, what you were saying was, oh, yeah, here we are, these girls that came from Northern Alberta.
Yeah.
Great parents.
Yeah.
Great upbringing, great community and whatnot. But like, what the hell do we know about inclusivity and DEI and raising money and the world and politics? Like, I'm sorry, I don't know shit. I don't know anything. I grew up like drinking Ryan Coke and work like
me too.
Like, I don't know. And so, but now we have this following and they love us so much. They believe in us so much. They want better from us.
Yeah.
And at first I was like, well, I don't want to be better.
Right.
I just want to be
so much work.
So in 2020, I kind of like had like, as many people did, like a big mentee bee because I call them mentee bees too.
You do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I felt like I couldn't do enough. Like I couldn't learn enough about being anti-racist. I had so much guilt about my life and my lifestyle. I felt like I was not doing enough for the environment. I was on my farm thinking, is this even supposed to be my land? Whose land am I on? Like, I just could not, I just kept on beating myself up. And Justin's like, you got to stop this. Like you're going really downhill. Like even the team, I would just show up to meetings and just be like, yeah, like the cartoon with the guy, like yeah, with the eyes. But it's a really good fine balance, because I do think that every human being, not just you and I, but every human being listening has so much influence and so mm-hmm. much power. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter if you don't even have an Instagram account. You have so much influence and so much power. So everybody can make such a positive difference in the world, but also you have to take care of yourself and your heart yeah. too. And yes. lately it seems like there's just not enough time yeah. to give back or not enough energy, but it does feel good when you start one little learning journey or when you do one little thing and you realize whoever you are, you have an impact. It hopefully does become addicting. You want to continue to do it and think about yeah. the kids in your community and whatnot, but it still is a fine balance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah.
That was nice. Speaking of lack of time.
Oh yeah.
Are we supposed to be getting married?
Me and you?
Yeah, like
let's do it.
Well, I mean, not us together, but I mean to our guys. I'm married.
Life you. Might be easier.
Could you imagine?
Oh yeah, it would be amazing.
I'd move out to the farm.
We could scroll our phones till like 1 a.m. and yeah. nobody would be like trying to like get in us or anything.
No,
like,
I'd be like,
just like, good night.
Yeah,
good night.
I don't care about that you're a hole. I would just want to like scroll with yeah. you and laugh and drink wine.
Totally.
But I know that the pressure that I feel sometimes of a long engagement and when's the wedding, when's the wedding. And people tell me it's not an excuse that I'm busy. They're like, it's not an excuse that you're busy. You should be getting married.
Yeah.
What
excuse do I have?
No, not what excuse do you have, but do you feel that pressure? Are you like, I actually don't feel pressure and we will get married when we
I do feel pressure. And Justin knows this. So this isn't a surprise. I'd be okay to not have a wedding. Mm-hmm. We started our wedding planning before the pandemic and it didn't feel good. It wasn't going the way I thought. I had a lot of anxiety over the guest list.
Yeah.
Still do.
Yeah.
And I like look at last night. How many people were at the house? Like 50 people maybe.
Yeah.
So it's like we throw parties.
Just a Father's Day.
Yeah. We yeah. throw parties all the time,
yeah.
but I think it's that it's a party about me
yeah.
instead of me just hosting it.
Yeah.
Where like, I could disappear last night. It'd be fine. I can't disappear on my wedding.
Right.
And I think because of the Bachelor and Bachelorette, there's going to be so much pressure as to like, yeah. what's it going to look like? What are my flowers yeah. going to look like? How beautiful is it going to be?
What Bachelor Nation people are going to be there.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I was one and probably the only brides that when COVID hit, I was like, yes, we get to cancel our wedding. Like, I was so stoked. I was like, so happy. It's such a wave of relief. And then we set a date for like a moment last year. And then I told you, Justin and I went on this 10-year anniversary trip.
Yeah.
And like, we fell so in love. It was like such a good trip. And he's love like, let's that. Get married. So our plan is to get married here next year.
Yeah.
But we'll see what happens because yeah. literally I think the guest list gives me paralysis because yeah. you either do like 50 people and just yeah. keep it to like whoever was there last night, yeah. basically.
Mm-hmm.
Or you do like 250 and you invite all the Northern Albertan cousins and like, you know, my cousin Rhonda, who's the freaking best. I hope she's listening right now.
Yeah.
She's like this, Jillian Barris. Ah! Like, she literally like, she like will beat up a guy at the wedding for sure. Like, one of Justin's friends is going down. Like it will be a hoe down.
But now in that case, you get people to buy a ticket to a live stream.
I don't want to. Yeah, I don't want to not invite Rhonda because of that, because Rhonda's personality is the best.
You need a Rhonda at the wedding.
I need a Rhonda at the wedding. Yeah. Rhonda should be there yeah. anyways, but just like, to where do you, because all my extended family and whatnot.
Oh
okay,
gosh.
So
it's
live
so
stream
special.
Or?
Live stream it. Get people to tune in. And
if they pay, I can donate a bunch of money to charity.
Exactly.
I love it. Ooh, I like
and then you just never know what's going to happen yeah. at that kind of wedding.
It's going to be a good time.
It's going to be a good time.
Like for me, the wedding would just be a party.
Yeah.
Justin and I already married. I call my husband all the time and people get mad. They're like, you guys aren't married. You can't call each other that. I'm like, call him whatever I want.
You can call him whatever you want.
We are common law. We've been together for 10 years.
Yeah.
We have a farm. We have a business together. We're doing all this stuff. And so for you and Jason, you're going to do whatever is a priority for you guys.
Yeah. Right.
The wedding doesn't mean that you put your relationship
right.
first.
Right. And that's why people yeah. just keep having like no. this input where I'm like, but that's not what I believe. And
yeah.
this is my life.
Yeah, totally.
So it's not your timeline. It's mine.
Yeah. For me, I think the wedding is more of a gift to our friends and family
yeah.
to say like, thanks for being there for us. Like here's a shot of tequila, but
yeah.
it's, I don't even think it's even about us. We already know we're committed to each other.
Yeah, that's exactly. Yeah. That's, I think it's hard for some people to understand
yeah.
Anything different than what they
right.
know.
Yeah. I've learned that
yeah.
After dealing with the internet.
Yeah. Yeah.
But people do have their own opinions and that's it's a beautiful thing sometimes.
Yeah. We want that.
Yeah.
Before I get into your confession and we wrap this up, yeah. I just want to know about the jelly box.
Oh, God. What do you want to know about?
Well, just give me the sum of, like,
in the hospital.
Why does it stress you out?
Well, it doesn't, because it's great. You know, like, all of our businesses, just running a business is stressful. Yeah, also, you know that, right? And somehow I have like 60 of them. I'm like, why did I do this to myself? But the Jilly Box is awesome because it works and it happens every 3 months. And we have such amazing partners, but it's a really interesting business model because people buy this box for $199 and shipping included.
It's good to know.
And the value of the items inside the box is around $400. Mm-hmm. The reason why we started the business is because I was getting all these partnership opportunities from small brands. Mm-hmm. I wanted to support them, but I couldn't do like a new like scrunchie launch every week.
Right.
So I was like, what if we did a box and all of these little collabs and all these little partnerships would go into this box and people would get my favorite things every quarter. But what happens is that it has to be on the same date every, we can't even move our dates by like 5 days because there's subscribers and there's like a billing system and you legit cannot change the bill. You cannot change the billing system. And before we can bill them, they have to pick their add-ons. So we can't move it. And if we move it too much, then all of a sudden we're going to have boxes going out back to back. People need time to save up their money to buy another box. So they have to go out the same time every year. And just, we basically started the Jilly Box and COVID hit like 3 months later. So like procurement, shipping delays, people, staffing delays, you know. So getting product, first of all, is very difficult. And also now the cost of everything is going up. It's very difficult. And so you want people to be able to get those boxes and be like, wow, I got such value, even though they still are getting a $400 value. Like we don't set the retail value. But it's just harder. It's just harder. And I want people, when people get their Jilly Boxes and they're like, I freaking love this box so much, I get high. I'm like, you know what it's like. I'm so happy. I show Justin the pose. I'm like, I love this.
And then when people don't like them.
I have an NTB. I legit, I'm like,
Spiral City.
Text the team. I'm like, what can we do better? Like, should we look at our budgets again? Like, maybe we should pinch pennies. I can't negotiate anymore with the brands because I don't want them to go under. So it's only us who can like continue to like really like squeeze everything. We want to hire more people. One of the things I love about business so much is being able to grow the team, because I'm truly believe that we have a company where it's safe. It's primarily women, but even if you're not a woman, you're in a safe place. We have such good benefits. Nobody works on their birthday. We have like an overly staffed HR team. I want every person to be able to work for us and have the opportunity where they love what they do. They feel safe. They feel taken care of. So I want to keep on growing the team, but like, it's just, it's hard. Running a business is hard. But anyways.
And keeping everybody happy.
But for those of you who are listening, Jilly Box is like a quarterly box that there's a wait list for it right now. There's a wait list.
Oh, that's amazing.
It is. So, okay. So kind of what happened in a nutshell is we launched it with 5,000 boxes and we wanted it to be a subscription. So you would just get a box every quarter. But when we launched, 100,000 people were on the website. I don't know how this happened. It was, I thought it was a good thing. At first I was drinking champagne and then I was like literally, I was like four in the morning.
And then like,
the website crashed. People were so upset that people spent 24 hours refreshing, to get this box. So they were like, why don't you just make more boxes? I'm like, it's small brands. Like these people can't make more than 5,000 of something. So over the last couple of years, we're now at 15,000 boxes, which is great. But the wait list is still over 100,000. So what happens is those first 5,000 people are grandfathered in and they always have the opportunity to purchase a box every quarter. And if you're a subscriber, you rarely skip. They're allowed to skip, but they rarely do. And then everybody else who is on the wait list, we randomly pick. So there's like a technology. We randomly pick and you get an email, but you've got to click that email and purchase immediately because if you don't, it's not, it's first come, first serve. So you get the option to buy in. So it's absolutely like launch days are absolutely crazy. I'm so grateful for them. But yeah, sometimes there's technical difficulties. There's some, I asked James, who's our tech guy. I said, if you're on the list, we have a new system now that you don't get offered a box unless you've received a box. I said, for those of who have been on the list since the beginning, how long will it take everybody to get a box? And he said another 2 or 3 years.
Holy crap.
So I'm like, oh my gosh. So for those of you who are on the Jilly Box wait list, be patient.
Well, hopefully we all know how fast 2 years goes by.
That's true. But I'm super proud of it. I'm super proud of it. And we're like, The best thing about 2020 is we've really started to prioritize like under marginalized groups. So like really focusing on like, you know, brands that are owned by LGBTQ, Indigenous owned, Black owned, women owned. We try to have as many products made in Canada. We try to have like zero packaging and zero waste. And so we donate $2 of every box to an organization every quarter.
That's
so
amazing.
It is awesome. I love it. But
I love that. Okay, we're gonna.
Oh god, this is awesome.
I know. I want to like.
I saw
so that
the
you
word
can't...
EIEIO. I saw the word EIEIO. I'm like, get it up! I got my cowboy boots on.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so we're gonna make a little jingle and using Mad Libs. You know Mad Libs?
I am so bad at improv.
No, you don't have to. It doesn't have to be improv. I'll tell you know Mad Libs where you have to do like.
Yeah, I'm sweating.
Okay, good. Okay. I like when I make you nervous. It's. Mad Libs for your farm with all the fun things you have here. I'll start it off and then you have to fill in the blank. Okay, so give me the name of an animal.
A cow.
Cow?
Yeah.
Okay. Give me an animal sound.
Moo.
No.
No different?
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Give me another animal sound.
Wow.
Look, look, look. I thought you were saying wow was an animal noise. I was like, no.
I have a farm and I don't know any farm animal.
So. Okay. Okay, well, Madison, I don't get what we did here.
This is the best game I've ever
did
done.
Did you get my voice note?
No.
Oh my god, you should honestly play it right now.
Oh my god, this is the best.
Okay, that would make more sense. Okay, here we go.
Hi, I'm just voice noting you to tell you that the Mad Libs idea was really dumb because it was just Old MacDonald had a farm, so all the Mad Libs would just be like animal sound, animal sound, animal sound. So
do not edit this out.
I just don't edit this out. Doing that. But just a quick update so you don't think I like just gave up here.
So she wanted us to skip it.
Okay.
I oinked. I oinked on the podcast. Stay tuned to the end.
We got some animal noises out of it. Yeah. I am so happy that just happened. Please don't edit that out.
Yeah,
this is
awesome.
That is very funny. Okay. Well, I'm glad that didn't work out because now we have time for your confession.
Yeah, people are like, if you can get Jill to oink on your podcast, that'd be great.
Yeah. I actually won $10 just for that.
Oh, perfect. You made a journey.
That was, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Let's go on. Okay. Tell me a confession. I mean, you've had some good ones. You had sex with a tampon in.
Oh, yeah.
You told Dustin that you still had your period so that you guys didn't have sex. Is he here? I have not.
No, he knows it at all.
And your other one was, you bled on Kid Rock's counter.
Holy shit. I think all of my confessions have to do with the vagina.
And your period.
Let me see if I can think of one that doesn't have to do with my vagina. But the one confession is like... I mean, this isn't really a confession, but, like, I have to figure out my vagina because I have, like, a prolapse from having kids. So I didn't take a mat leave.
Yeah.
I actually feel like every woman in America should have a prolapse vagina because you guys also don't get really mat leaves.
What does that even mean?
What happens is if you don't heal your vagina enough or, like, have a strong, like, inner wall, the walls of your vagina, like, spill out. If you're, like, standing on your... No, you can see it. It's like a golf ball that's in a... It's like a golf ball that's in a skin sack comes out of you. It's... absolutely horrible, and it's absolutely horrible. And all I have to do, I'm gonna get so many people reaching out to me saying I'm a pelvic floor specialist, I can help you, because every time I talk about it I get people reaching out like, I know I have the number of a lady, I have to go and see somebody, I just have to make the time to go.
Yeah,
that's like one of my biggest confessions, like go to a pelvic floor therapist, otherwise you're gonna end up like me, you're gonna have like a Titleist hanging from like in between your legs and it's not great. So there's that. Is that?
I'm so sorry.
I know. Is that good enough, or do I have to keep digging?
Okay. No, that's all we needed. That was the perfect clip. And you probably inspired me a lot. I'm like, I will do all the pelvic floor workouts.
Yeah, and they're like, oh, do you do Kegels? Okay. You're like, you're sitting there. You're like, great, I'm going to start doing Kegels now. And you do it once or twice, and then you get distracted.
I never think
like in order to do a Kegel, you have to be focused on something.
Also, can I tell you something? Doing a Kegel makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah,
like
I hate it.
I don't know what it is about.
Yeah,
that part of like I cannot go to the gynecologist because I mean I do because I have to. But like when they try and get my knees to relax open, my knees go like this. No, Okay. And I can't relax. I can't. And I like have to listen to a meditation. Sometimes I take a Xanax. Like I cannot relax.
I'm sure
relax.
It's my every woman, but like I have the best doctor on earth. I wonder if she listens to these things. Her name is Christy Kolkine. She's like literally the best person. I just got one last week.
Yeah.
And like same thing. And then you're like this. And then you hear that like click, 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 click.
No,
click.
I can't.
And then it goes in. And then you know what's even worse is when they pull it
the
out.
Scrape.
When they pull it out and it's so slippery.
No, because all the lube they put on it and the scraping. And oh, the, no, so I hate bad. It. I hate it.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, God. Why
women have to do so much bullshit. It
but
is
finally,
not right.
I think we're all realizing how powerful we are. We're stepping into it. Men are like, damn it.
Yeah.
We had our time for so long.
They're like just shaking in their booties.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Okay, that's all the time we have.
Great. I love
which
that.
Which makes me so sad because, I mean, we'll do a fifth podcast.
Yeah. We'll do a 24-hour one day. We'll do it for charity. People have to pay to listen.
Okay.
I want to see
them just hang out with us for 24 hours. Yeah. Where can people sign up for the Jilly Academy? Where can they get the... No, they can't get the Jilly Box.
Oh, let me name you the 60 Instagram accounts that
Perfect.
I have going right now.
Yeah.
Oh, Christ.
You should make it into
also,
like a
I'm
little
sorry
wrap.
For saying Christ so much because I feel like maybe a lot of people are religious, but...
Well, you're not saying it and you're not hating on Christ.
No, I love him.
Yeah. No, I love him.
Follow me on JillianHarris.com and everything else is there. If you're a small business owner or want to start your own side gig, check out the Jillian Academy. We're doing a new thing. We're actually giving away our most popular modules so people can get a taste of the course and see if they want it. So that's one thing. The Jilly Box, sign up for the wait list because if you're on the wait list, you always get first access to if there's extra add-ons.
Oh, that's cool.
So you get first access to that. And also if you follow the Jilly Box, you get access to all these small brands. So if you're passionate about supporting small businesses, family-run businesses, women-run businesses, the Jilly Box is like your home hub.
Okay.
What else do I have?
Right. Oh, IG.
Oh, Jillian.Harris. Huh? Jillian with a J.
Jillian with a J. Dot Harris.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for having me to your farm.
Thank you.
This is, I could just, you know, this is my second time here and I'm just like, I need a farm.
You guys can come stay here anytime.
Do you think we convinced Jason yesterday to maybe
I was selling it hard,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I told them once we build our new house on the farm that Caitlin and Jason should buy our house.
I'm so down.
Then we'll be neighbors.
I know.
And I can come visit.
That's what I've been saving and investing my Canadian money to buy property.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
Okay. Well, cheers. Love you.
Cheers. Love you.
I'm Caitlin Bristow. I'll see you next Tuesday.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Off the Vine. Don't forget to rate, review, and follow on your favorite podcast platform. And we'll see you next Tuesday.
Do you want to thrive outside the 9-to-5? Then Mom's Exit Interview Podcast is for you. In each episode, you'll hear from inspirational everyday moms taking control. Entrepreneurs, stay-at-home moms with side hustles, consultants, and more. Plus experts with actionable tips like Rebecca Minkoff and Gretchen Rubin. I'm Kim Ritberg, former Us Weekly and Netflix executive and mom of two. I've got the best boss now, me, and I've never been happier. Whether you're in transition or already made a change, let's create a more flexible and fulfilling life together. Listen to and follow Mom's Exit Interview on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.